Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're continuing Canto 10, Chapter 26, and just a little review. Yesterday we discussed text 18, which says, "For this son of yours, there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known by me, but people in general do not understand them." So we were reading from, there's no commentary here in the Canto 10, Chapter 26, but this verse, along with the rest of the verses that were spoken in Chapter 8 of Canto 10, they're being referred to again. Just the context is Chapter 8 is the name-giving ceremony of Krishna and Balaram by Gargamuni. So in that name-giving ceremony, he spoke a number of verses. Chapter 8 are spoken. And they're revealing truths about Krishna in a hidden way. It's direct, but it's a little hidden. It's hidden purposely. Gargamuni did not want to disturb the particular feelings of Vrajaprema that he felt towards Krishna. So he spoke the truth, but he spoke in something of an indirect way, rather than revealing what we're hearing from our Acharya's commentaries. And we mentioned, so it's a little review also, this section is spoken twice, Chapter 8, Chapter 26, because it's spoken twice, because it's important, and there's a storyline that goes with it. The storyline is the elders of Braja were, after the Govardhan Lila, were wondering, whoa, who is this? They were in this astonishment mode. And Nanda is going to pacify them by repeating verbatim, the verse, word by word, verse by verse, the words told to him by Gargamuni. And Nanda's impression, not what what Nanda has understood from what Gargamuni said, is very simple. He's a jiva who has powers from Narayana to protect the residents of Braja. So no worries, everybody. He's one of us. He says, you know, especially powerful. And mentioned in the earlier parts of this chapter, 26, is after summarizing the pastimes in just one verse, the earlier childhood pastimes of Krishna, killing demons, they express this additional astonishment, not like, wow, who is he? He just did this and this and this and this. But they also express a concluding remark that we're also astonished to see the degree of attachment and affection that we have for Krishna and the degree of attachment and affection that Krishna has for us. And the commentary explains, It's natural. It's Vrajaprem. And they, in Vrajaprem, the residents of Vraja, not just the elders, everyone, has a natural, spontaneous affection for Krishna, each according to their rasa, but it's, the word is used again and again, it's natural. It could mean different things. If they didn't have to practice it, it's just, it's already there. And it's a qualification of Vrajaprem, that there's a natural attraction. The same idea, just a different text, but the same ideas, part of a discussion in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, in Dwaraka, Gopakumar reaches Dwaraka, and he has this discussion with Uddhava and Narada, and Narada is encouraging Uddhava to speak, explain things that this young boy needs to hear before he enters Vraja. And Uddhava says, he is worshipable by both you and me, because he's eligible for entering and residing in Vraja, and which we're not eligible for, because he has this natural affinity for Madan Gopal. Now, it's not that they don't, but it's just, it's a very special feature or qualification of the residents of Vraja. They have, that's something that's very unique amongst all those who are perfected beings. Narada is perfect. Uddhava is perfect. And the remark is, he's eligible in ways that we're not eligible. We can't even dream of it. Many, many, many lifetimes. It's not by austerities. It says for him it's very natural. Now, the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, given to us through Rupa Goswami, is there is a way for us, sadhakas, or those who have turned our back on Krishna and we came to the material world and we're hanging out trying to find happiness, we can awaken that by a method. Rupa Goswami lays it out. It's in Nectar Devotion. And those of you that take Bhakti Shastri, you know what if you haven't studied it, you will find it's in the earlier chapters, within the first 19 chapters of Nectar Devotion. So, while it's natural, there's a way where we can also acquire or awaken that natural affinity that makes us eligible for entering into Vrindavan. So now here's back to Nanda. He has that natural affection. The other residents of Vrindavan have that natural affection. So that besides that natural affection, which is to them quite amazing how they have even more than their own children, they have affection for Krishna, an attachment for him. They can't stop thinking of him. Not that they, sometimes the gopis try, but they can't. It's a natural attraction. It just keeps going to Krishna and going to Krishna and going to Krishna and going to Krishna in their loving mood. So all the residents of Vrindavan like that, that's Vrindavan. It's a natural. And then there's this additional factor, which is dharmic, and how the young girls behave and how the elders behave and how the cowherd boys behave. There's dharmic boundaries or parameters or guidelines that they normally follow, although they're not obliged to. It's part of how they live their lives. And there are some occasions when it just supersedes. Their spontaneous attraction supersedes the boundaries. We discussed one of them. The young girls when their way back after the Govardhan Lila, without reserve. They were singing the glories of Krishna. You know, how charming is Krishna? So young girls that are from a village, they know what proper conduct is, and at least during, I mean, Kali Yuga is a different story, but during this period of time, they would carry themselves accordingly. So simultaneously, this natural attraction, according to rasa, and within the boundaries of dharma, of what's appropriate given their situation. So there's, that's context of what we're doing. I didn't complete, I want to read more, from the commentaries on this text 18 of chapter 26, which is, I'll read it again. This is the third of Gargamuni's statements to Nanda. For this son of yours, there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. So there's three more commentaries. They're very delightful. One of them is from Gopal Champu by Jiva Goswami. And a little rah-rah about Jiva Goswami. He not only wrote Gopal Champu, but he wrote a book explaining how to write a champu. Because it's a particular literary form, and it has boundaries. And so he was a pioneer. It was like, it's a classic, but it had been forgotten. And so he's like using it because that's how he was. He would use that which is, already given and then fill it up with Krishna. Like Sanskrit grammar. So he wrote another book about Sanskrit grammar with names of Krishna for each of the recitation messages the children learn when they learn Sanskrit grammar. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu devised it, but Jiva Goswami wrote it down. So Gopal Champa was one such genre or type, like a Sandarbha is a type, and he just followed the blueprint, the protocol for what Sandarbha has these rules and form and procedures. And so he wrote. And in Gopal Champu, I mentioned this before, mainly it's just a recitation of Krishna's pastimes. Rupa Goswami did the same thing, but he did it in the form of a drama. Krishna's pastimes in Braja, Krishna's pastimes outside of Braja. Vidagdha Madhava Lita Madhava. A drama. But it's recitation of Krishna's pastimes and recitation. So it happens again and again, like mentioned already, in Ramayana. How many times within Ramayana is there a retelling of Ramayana? So many times. And sometimes it's just like a little boop. So that happened in this chapter already, chapter 26. The resident of Vrindavan speaking to Nanda gave a little recitation. So now Gopal Champa was such a book, but it's a little more than just mentioning. It's going a little more deeply. So here's a section from Gopal Champa, entitled Krishna's Birth. So that's one of his pastimes. And the person speaking in this particular section is Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma said, my mind becomes bewildered, just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions which you bestow upon these residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members. Bakka and Agasura, they were her brothers. In exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give to these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you? Now that's a translation of a verse from chapter 14, which we didn't get to yet, from the evening discussion, Brahma's prayers. Continuing with Gopal Champu, Narayana also stated the same previously in verse 64. So verse 64 of Gopal Champu, this chapter. Garga has said, from this section, chapter 8, the concluding statement that Garga Muni made to Nanda Maharaj is being quoted. In conclusion, therefore, O Nanda Maharaj, this child of yours is as good as Narayana in his transcendental qualities, opulence, name, fame, and influence. He is exactly like Narayana. You should all raise this child very carefully and cautiously. Gopal Champu continues, according to this, we will infer as follows. Yogamaya of the Lord, worshipped by Nanda, who had no other interest than Krishna, is revealed in the scriptures. She is the Lord's Swarup Shakti, having the ability to do the impossible. The Lord gave Yogamaya, and she arranged Krishna as your son. Though she does not pay attention when Krishna in Braja is agitated by his devotee's affection, Krishna has her invisibly assist in the past times at all times, acting favorably to him. As Yogamaya cooperates with Krishna, so Maya in the material world cooperates with Krishna. O Nanda, though Krishna has attained cooperative Yogamaya for his pastimes, you should protect Krishna, to whom your worshipable Narayana has given power by all your powers. That is what Garga has clearly said. Now it's the verse that from text 18 from chapter 26, same as chapter 8 of canto 10. For this son of yours, there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. Paragraph. He has many forms because, becoming absorbed in the various moods of worship of his devotees, Krishna, always existing, takes forms according to the desire of his devotee and appears and disappears one or many times, close or distant from them. The four-armed form which appeared internally to Vasudeva and Devaki later appeared externally. The cause of the fruit can be inferred from the fruit. Following this logic, Krishna appeared always in a two-armed form to Nanda and Yashoda, receiving truths about Krishna in a very interesting way. Could you sit a little separate from him? please. Thanks. Here's two more references. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We're familiar with Nectar Devotion because Prabhupada translated it. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by name. And it has so many chapters and covers so many topics. And then there's an additional and companion literature written by Rupa Goswami called Ujjwala Neelamani. It's very, very esoteric, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote a commentary on that Ujjwala Neelamani. Now, Bhanu Swami has translated it, but a little Bhaktisiddhanta story. Something that Bhaktivinoda did and trained his son how to do was print other literatures, literatures of Madhvacharya and literatures of previous acharyas and Rupa Goswami's writings. So there's this story where Bhaktisiddhanta asked his father, is it okay to print Ujjwala Neelamani? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, yes, you can print Ujjwala Neelamani, one copy only, and you can have it. It's not meant for us. But here's a little section. It's pretty simple. Brahma said, hearing that, whatever that is, the Vedas contemplated the form of the Lord for a long time. When the said time arrived, they became gopis and attained Krishna. So we know that there's, aside from Krishna's eternal gopis that come for his pastimes, there's the Rishi Chari gopis are the sages in Dandak forest that requested Ram to become their husband, not this lifetime, but the next appearance. So they became gopis. And there's some of the personified Vedas who also had that same hankering, and they became gopis, some. So commentary continues. Vitthalanath explains the verses as follows. The Vedas requested, quote, show us your form beyond words and mind, beyond the gunas ascertained in the Vedanta. The Lord then showed Gokula and his form situated there as he performed pastimes. If it is approved by the Vedas, it is actually happening. If this is so, the eternal nature of the pastimes is proven. This is also defined by omniscient Gargacharya at the name-giving ceremony described in Canto 10. And refers to this verse. For this son of yours, there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. The statement is, your son has many names and forms. The present tense is used. That means they continue to exist. Similarly, his qualities like generosity and activities like subduing Kaliya and suitable forms exist eternally. Anurupa refers to a form suitable for a particular pastime. For instance, in lifting Govardhan, he has a standing form with raised arm while saving the inhabitants and pleasing them. If the actions and forms which produce the actions are continually present, then the names of Krishna suitable for the particular pastimes are also continually present. Otherwise, when the action has been completed, the related name would disappear. Paragraph. Lord Vitthala Nath explains as follows. The names of the Lord are eternal sound forms of Brahman. Just as one may perceive the Lord's body to be material because of faulty perception, so one may perceive his names to be material, sound, because of faulty perception. Thus all the names attached to the Lord's form should be considered eternal. Paragraph. Question. How can names which appear only after manifestation of qualities and actions be Brahman, since those names become bound by material time? Unquote. The corresponding names just manifest along with the manifestation of the actions of the Lord Swarup, since they are eternal. The names are not created after an activity. Krishna was bathed by Surabhi after lifting Govardhan and receiving the name Govinda. But long before this, if the names are not eternal, how could the women of Raja, placing syllables on Krishna's body after he drank the milk of Putana, say, Kridantam Patu Govindaha. May Govinda protect you while you play. They also later said, Govindam Venum Anu Mata Mayura Nrityam. Means, the peacocks dance madly after hearing Govinda's flute. Thus the name, corresponding to the form, doing the activity, has an eternal nature, describing the activity. These will gradually manifest in the world in order that the devotees experience rasa from them. Some portions, however, may sometimes remain covered. Paragraph. Thus the Lord eternally lifts Govardhan. The form of Krishna lifting Govardhan always exists, along with the name Govardhan Dhara, and the action of lifting Govardhan. Even today, the devotees can realize this. There is also worship and meditation on deity forms. One commits offense by thinking of the names, forms, and activities to be non-eternal. And such offensive worship will not cause joy, for it is said, Yo nyata satam armanam. He who thinks body is the self, or the Lord is material, is the worst sinner, Mahabharata. By being without offense, the worship will be pure. Thus, the names corresponding to the activity are eternal because the name and form are both necessary constituents of the Lord. One should not doubt that this statement is in any way merely figurative. So, his commentary is continuing. In Bhagavat Samdarbha, Jiva Goswami has explained the following verse. That's Canto 8, Chapter 3. He has no birth or activities, no name or form, no qualities or faults, excepts birth and activities, as Brahma and Shiva, at the time of creation and destruction, by his energies of Rajas and Tamas for creating and destroying the universe. Vitthala Nath explains as follows. The Lord has no birth or activities, but by his Swarup Shakti, Swamayaya, he accepts birth and activities. then one may say, since he attains birth and activities, those are temporary events. In answer to this, the verse says the Lord continually, anu kalam, attains them. This means he never gives up birth and activities being manifested through the Swarup Shakti and being eternal are supportive of each other. Question. How can birth and pastime be eternal? They are both actions. An action and each of its parts are defined in terms of beginning and end. Without that, the action's very form would disappear. Answer. There is no fault for the following reasons. Because the Lord always has an eternal form, that form is eternally manifest. Because of this, the Lord's pastimes with birth and activities are also eternal. Thus, the individuality and manifestation of associates in the pastimes and the places in unlimited Vaikunthas and unlimited universes are also equal. The beginning and completion of actions revealed by the Lord's form are located in one place. But when a portion of the birth and activities are complete in that place, that portion begins in another universe. Since the Lord is eternal, because of having no destruction, the birth and activities exist elsewhere after being completed in one place. The birth and activities begin somewhere else, sometimes a little different because of differences in details and sometimes exactly the same because of sameness of the details. One form becomes a different seat of action by manifesting separately. This is illustrated when Krishna expands into many forms in Dwarka, referring to chapter 69. Narada says it's quite amazing that in a single body, Lord Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 women, each in a separate palace. And final paragraph. Because of doing different actions in each form, the Lord identifies himself differently in the many expanded forms in which he performs those actions. Because of this, awareness of rasa arising from the sequence of pastimes manifests in each palace in Dwarka. Pretty elevated, huh? One more. Again, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And then we're ready for the text 19. Sri Radha speaks to Lalita. Commentary. One should not worry that this pastime must have taken place later, after the killing of Keshi, or that it is not an earlier pastime. Garga said, at the time of giving Krishna his name, that he has many names. Bahuni Santi Namani. Those names are used to indicate Krishna in Braja. Thus the people of Braja use names like Killer of Keshi, Killer of Mura, Killer of Kamsa, even before those events occurred. In the first part, paragraph, in the first part of the verse, this is commentary on a Ujjvala Nilamani verse, in the first part of the verse, there are strong qualities of the Mugdha. But this is countered by the bold speaking typical of the Madhyama. Radha says, Come, we will go to the bank of the Jamuna. Though other gopis teach me to be angry, you alone are my life. You have been unjustly deceived by some Shakti or Saki. I will now go to meet Krishna there. Are you going to him to beg for amorous pleasure? Radha speaks angrily. No. We will go there on the pretext of picking flowers. Okay, so now we're ready for the next text. Canto 10, chapter 26, text 19 has no purport in the BBT. The translation to 19 reads, to increase the transcendental bliss of the cowherd men of Gokula, this child will always act auspiciously for you, and by his grace only you will surpass all difficulties. No purport, but going back to Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text 16, Prabhupada gives the following purport. For the cowherd men and the cows, Krishna is the supreme friend. Therefore, he is worshipped by the prayer. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. His pastimes in Gokula, his dham, are always favorable to the brahmanas and the cows. His first business is to give all comfort to the cows and the brahmanas. In fact, comfort for the brahmanas is secondary, and comfort for the cows is his first concern. Because of his presence, all people would overcome all difficulties and always be situated in transcendental bliss. So we're going to read now Acharya's commentary on 10.8.16. He will produce benefit, Vishwanath, and give joy for the cowherds and groups of cows. Gopa, Gokulanandana, can refer to Krishna's becoming the son, Nandana, of all the cowherds and cows by his expansion during the Brahma Vimohan Lila. Gopa can here be taken as a vocative address to Nanda Maharaj. O cowherd, very easily or happily by him you will cross over all obstacles. Whenever difficulties arise, your son, who is invested with the powers of Narayana, will deliver you. You should therefore take shelter of him. Jiva Goswami's short commentary. This child will give bliss to all the cowherds of Gokul, that is his nature, and by action will do what is most beneficial for the people of Raja in this life and the next. Because of Krishna, you will easily cross over all disturbances from Kamsa and others. And finally, here's reference from Sanatana Goswami. This child will give bliss to all the cowherds, meaning the men, of Gokula. This is the nature of this avatar. O king, Garga speaks with all respect to Nanda, O protector of the earth is protected by you, and by action, this child will do what is most beneficial for all the people of Raja in this life and the next. For all devotees in general, he will act beneficially for all your people. He will give joy to all of Gokula, and by action he will do what is most beneficial for the people of Raja in this life and the next. Here's part of Jiva Goswami's commentary, or writings rather, in Krishna Sandarbha. He writes, text 175 from Krishna Sandarbha, there are plenty of statements showing that in Vrindavan eternal pastimes take place. For example, Garga's statement came true, that is, this text, by his nature increasing the bliss of the coward men in Gokula, this child will always protect and be most auspicious for you. At the end of the prose portion of Padma Purana, it is said that Krishna then entered Dwaraka. The Yadus had left Dwaraka in order that Shalva might be killed and were waiting for Krishna to return. He returned to Dwaraka, quote, with them. This then agrees with Bhagavatam. Without him, it would not be proper to enter their houses. The Yadus perceive Krishna's absence as only a short time, as expressed in the following, Bhagavatam 10:14-43. That's the Brahma's prayers. O king, although the boys had passed an entire year apart from the Lord of their very lives, they had been covered by Krishna's illusory potency and thus considered that year to be merely have a moment. That's from chapter 14. We'll get there after some time. But that's a statement from that chapter, text 43. Now, I haven't read ahead because there's a lot. I'll read. Krishnadas Kaviraj has written in his Krishna Karnamrita, celebrated book, Krishna Karnamrita. We see on the path the youthful form of Murari, succulent with shining, extremely dark cheeks, with newer and newer beauty, who has firmly vowed to relieve all distress of those whose hearts have blossomed with faith. Five verses now describe Radha's illusion of seeing the Lord suddenly, spurati, and directly, sakshat. Out of despondency, she faints. The sakis say, oh, friend, that compassionate fellow has not at all protected us from a host of misfortunes. Now he will come suddenly on some path and make us happy. Radha then looks everywhere on the path while glorifying him, as in the following Bhagavatam verse. This is now Gopi Gita section. Oh, greatest of personalities, you have repeatedly saved us from all kinds of dangers, from poisoned water, from the terrible man-eater Agha, from the great rains, from the wind demon, from the fiery thunderbolt of Indra, from the bull demon, and from the son of Mayadhanava. She speaks to the Sakis with sudden vision of Krishna appearing here and there. The scene is depicted. Oh, friends, we see the youthfulness as well as the beauty of that age of most beautiful Murari at various places on the path. How is this described? He is so succulent with very black cheeks becoming more beautiful at every moment. He is devoted solely to relieving the sufferings of all people, the inhabitants of Vraja, including us. What types of people are these? Their hearts have fully blossomed with faith, Garga said, our verse. To increase the transcendental bliss of the cowherd men of Gokula, this child will always act auspiciously for you. An example of their faith is the following. Chapter 17 of Canto 10. O Lord, we are your true friends. Please protect us from this insurmountable fire of death. We can never give up your lotus feet, which drive away all fear. The internal meaning of Vilvamangala expresses an appearance of Krishna in Radha's association. The external meaning is a statement of Vilvamangala as he approaches Mathura and sees Krishna all around in a vision. The Lord relieves the suffering of persons endowed with faith as described in the following verse. Oh, Govinda, remembering again and again your promise that your devotees will never perish, I maintain my life. Mahabharata. Or, from Ramayana, I have made the vow that I will always give fearlessness to the person who surrenders once to me and says, I am yours. Famous text from Ramayana. And there's many other references. I'm going to go forward. Text 20. It's already 11 minutes before the hour. I'll just read the translation and the commentary of our acharyas on the 8th chapter verse. O Nanda Maharaj, Garga said, as recorded in history, where there was an irregular, incapable government, Indra having been dethroned, and when honest people were being harassed and disturbed by thieves, this child appeared in order to curb the rogues and protect the people and enable them to flourish. From chapter 26, there's no commentary, but here's the commentary from 10.8.17. Indra is the king of the universe. Demons, thieves, and rogues always disturb Indra. But when Indra, when the enemies of Indra become prominent, Krishna appears. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam, Indrari Vyakulam Lokam, Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. Vishwanath's commentary on that chapter 8 verse, text 17. In another birth, the devas, harassed by the demons and without Indra as king, were protected and made strong by him. Quote, because your Ishtadev has been pleased, he has given you a son like Narayana. This is the intent of this verse. Quote, it is prescribed that you should chant the names Mukunda, Madhusudana, and Narayana. But in all good things, there are obstacles. So therefore, at every moment, protect your son carefully. This son who you protect will protect you from all disturbances, just like Narayana. Jiva Goswami. His past history in another birth is related. The Devatas were afflicted by the demons when Indra was dethroned. That's it. And Sanatan Goswami, also short. His past history in another birth is related in order to instill Nanda's faith in his words. Quote, in another birth actually refers to avatars, such as Prithu. O Lord of Vraja, you should preserve the happiness in Vraja from unlimited wicked people. What to say? The principle, this, in reading much of this before the class, I was just thinking, mentioned before, what do we understand about all of this? But we know, it's repeated in scripture again and again and again, that hearing and chanting the name form qualities and pastimes of the Lord. This Bhagavad Dharma process awakens, cleanses and awakens original Krishna consciousness. Now it's not what we're used to. We're used to things that are, that match our senses and the mind. And this doesn't do that. It's beyond our senses and it's beyond the mind. And we're sitting listening. So the function of the senses is it reaches out, the senses reach out, they reach out, and contact sense objects. Commonly looking for a sensory experience that we call happiness. And that's what the normal function of the senses, and then sends those, that information to the mind. And the mind processes it and tries to make sense of it, and it's the place where we feel some happiness or distress within the mind. Not specifically the senses, it's within the mind. And that's conditioned life. And how to go beyond conditioned life? By sound vibration, because material creation starts with sound, the spiritual awakening starts with sound. Sound is so important. And so it's not our participation in this activity is not, oh, I get it. It's not that kind of an experience. It's a different paradigm, a different model of living our lives. It's with faith in sound vibration that's coming from transcendence into our covered existence, and cleansing and awakening, those two things. And natural attraction that's already there becomes awakened by, but covered, it becomes awakened. When Prabhupada came to America, his one of the essence teachings was, I'm not come to teach you something new, I've come to remind you of that which you have forgotten. And when he went back to India, it's, you know, the real treasure of India is its spiritual culture, but you've forgotten. This Mahamantra and the Bhagavad Dharma process is to remind you of what you have forgotten. So that remembering or the reawakening can take a long time. The alarm is ringing and we don't even hear the alarm. We keep hitting the snooze button. So it's a gradual process, but we're continuing with it because we have faith and it has an effect. And even with the effect, there's the unsteady, the rise and the fall of consciousness, you know, the highs and the lows or the hills and the valleys, like, you know, life. But gradually the cleansing and the attraction grows. And then the inspiration to apply ourselves better with more absorption in the hearing process, the cleansing and the awakening of attraction process. Gradually, gradually. It's gradual because we're very covered. We're very attached to, we're not attached to suffering, but we're attached to trying to find enjoyment through the senses, contacting sense objects. It's, in simple language, it's called fruit of activity. Because that's the activity that gets the fruits that we can try to become the enjoyer of. So passion, mode. It's very strong. Fruit of activity. And this is a different paradigm. What's fruitive about what we're doing? We're investing time nonetheless. And it's quite charming. Very attractive, the message. Certainly, you know, quite inconceivable. But that's okay. The bhakti process permits that which is inconceivable to be understood because of Krishna's kindness in disclosing it. That's what we're doing. I mean, well, we just stay the course. We continue. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. That remembrance of Krishna awakens by that hearing and chanting process. So let's see if there's some discussion. It's already 8 o'clock. Commentaries are fantastic, huh?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, just this thought came to me while you were reading this text 19 of 26, where Gargamuni is saying, because of as Krishna is with you, you can cross over all difficulties. He's going to protect you. It may not be very devotional thought, Guru Maharaj, kindly forgive me. I was feeling they didn't have all these difficulties before Krishna came to Gokul. All these demons and all these difficulties came after Krishna came into their life. How to understand? I have this thought because I have heard if we chant and do services attentively, we'll get more purification. So I'm like trying to connect and understand.
Well, supposing you don't chant, what's going to happen? The past involvement with material nature, guna and karma, will happen. It'll be whatever it's going to be, a mix of good and bad. And supposing you chant, and the cleansing process is accelerated, but it's minimized in contrast to what would have been the karmic reaction for things. Now, before Krishna appeared, they didn't have all these demons and disturbances, and Krishna came. But Krishna was always protecting them, same as Krishna will always protect us. And that's, you know, the faithful. We'll know that, and extending faith to Krishna, that protection will always be there. In proportion to one's devotion, the sense of feeling protected is unquestionable. Supposing somebody got the bright idea, you know, let me see what life is like without chanting and see how happy I am. I know somebody that did that. I just want to be sure. And purification may have some bumps, but life without purification is another experience of unwanted miseries, just material existence. It's an existence of unwanted miseries.
Radha Kunjabihari Prabhu's question. Is it okay to desire a particular form of Krishna in devotional service? If this form is different from the form of the deity being served at the temple, is it an offense?
No. Yes to the first question and no to the second question. But you know, it's a misunderstanding to think the form of the deity and the form of one's attraction are different entities. Go ahead.
Vaishnav's question, what is the difference between Yoga Maya and Mahamaya?
The difference between Yoga Maya and Mahamaya is the internal potency and external potency bewildering the jiva. The Yoga Maya potency bewilders Nanda Maharaj so he can't see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's Yogamaya's influence. And you and I are influenced by Mahamaya, where, you know, we don't even know who we are. We're accepting who we aren't as who we are. That's Mahamaya. And objects out there, there are potential enjoyment opportunities. That's Mahamaya.
Amara Mataji's question. Are there any examples of sadhana siddha devotees with explanation of different stages from nama aparad to shuddha nama they went through and achieved perfection?
I don't know of any. Perhaps Narada in his previous life, that's one example. I guess we could say Dhruva is another example. The associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, each of them had their counterpart in Krishna's pastimes. But, you know, what comes to mind, for example, is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
Amol Prabhu from Houston. Is the desire for protection a material desire or a spiritual desire? In the spiritual world, we are eternal and happy, so there is no need for protection. Is there any need for protection in the spiritual world?
Yes. There's the sense that the Lord is my protector. That's a symptom of one who has surrendered. So it's not material to be surrendered. And a symptom of surrender is feeling Krishna is one's protector. And one turns to Krishna for protection. And the resident of Vrindavan, when there's some appearance of some difficulty, they turn to Krishna. It's not material. So seeking protection can be material and spiritual. Depends on the consciousness behind the act of seeking protection.
Ms. Thira Mataji, what is the difference between misconception and offense? Does the former lead to the latter?
The difference between misconception and offense, does the former lead to the latter? When Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the 10 offenses against the holy name, each one, you can go through the list and look carefully, each one is rooted in a misconception. That is, that which is spiritual is seen as that which is seen to be material. So it precedes offense specifically to that which is spiritual. Like, let's just say other living entities, their real identity is their spiritual entities, their spirit soul, not the body and etc. And that misconception that they're the body, etc., leads to, it's a precursor for making offense. Because if not, so it's, there's one explanation, there's probably other explanations in response to her question.
This is Visalaksha Prabhu. Can you kindly elaborate and explain the natural attachment or affection of the jivas on Lord Krishna? What is the best and effective way to awaken naturally in this life itself?
Well, I answered that question earlier. It's the process given by Jiva Goswami, which was given by Lord Chaitanya. It's a process that accompanies chanting, and there's hearing and chanting, and that hearing and chanting in the manner that Lord Chaitanya has given through the line that particularly carries that natural attraction of Vraja Prem, then that's how it's awakened.
This is from Gopinath. Before Keshi and Bakasura were killed, the Vrajavasis referred to Krishna as a killer of these demons. How?
Well, we read that the pastimes are eternal. Now, how they knew about the eternal pastime before they happened? And then thus gave names, I don't know, other than it's not that they're omniscient or they're super soul connected or something. It's just names by which they understood Krishna, but how do they have that understanding that Krishna would perform the pastime? I don't know. It's just their names of Krishna. And they called them by those names. That's it. Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhupada Ki.